The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, we are live once again. UFC Vegas 47 has come to an end, and we're here to discuss the first February event of 2022 for the Ultimate Fighting Championship with all of you. Welcome to the UFC Vegas 47 live post-fight show here on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel. I am Mike Keck. We've got the whole crew here. We got AK Lee with the people's eyebrow. We got Jose Youngs with the headphones on. AK, we will begin with you, my man. We just saw Sean Strickland defeat Jack Hermanson in the main event. I scored it 50-45. Two of the judges scored it 49-46 for Strickland. And one judge decided, you know what? I'm going to get all sorts of crazy and scored 48-47 for Jack Hermanson, which is just going to go down as one of the egregious scorecards of the year. But be that as it may, AK, your thoughts on the fight, Strickland's performance. Is this a fight that we're going to be thinking, you know what? Let's shoot Strickland up the ranks a little bit. Let's have him jump the line and get closer to a title shot.
I think a lot of people were looking at this as a one fight card for the most part. There might have been one or two other fights that people were interested in, but generally it was like, oh, this is a good fight between two top 10 guys. It's the right test for Sean Strickland next. Hermanson is a veteran who's fought a lot of good guys. So, I mean, the match making a lot of sense. And I think as we talked about it, going to the show, we're like, you know, people should at least check out the main event. We thought there was a chance it could turn out like this, but I don't know if we knew it would be such a kind of listless, monotonous performance, which is not to say a bad performance by Sean Strickland. I think he won pretty comfortably. Again, that scorecard for Hermanson is not great. So something needs to be done about that. But yeah, he won. I would give him 4 out of the 5 rounds. It's unfortunate that it kind of sent the night out on a down note, because I do think that he should, you know, that whoever, I'm trying to think, will he get like, you know, the loser of the Cannoneer Brunson fight, something like that? It would make sense. But again, I don't know how the UFC feels about that performance. So I think he will move up slightly. I do think he still gets a big fight. Not all his fights are like this. I know he's not like a one-hitter quitter, but usually there's a little more volume. I think he was very respectful of Jack Hermanson, as he should be. Jack Hermanson's a great fighter, and he did what he needs to do to get the win. It wasn't super exciting, but it was the winning strategy tonight. So you can't criticize that too much.
Yeah, Jose, I mean, what did you think of Strickland's performance? So oftentimes you hear fighters get on the mic, they do the post-fight interviews, and we know fighters are very self-critical. They are their own worst critics. And I feel like Strickland, in a way, just based on how he fights and how Eric Nixick talks about him, I feel like he meant everything that he said, that this wasn't just being so self-critical. This is him just kind of being hard on himself. He thought he was going to perform better. He won. I thought the fight was not really all that close. This is a Strickland win, but for a guy that is calling for title fights, I don't think this was the performance he was looking for. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's definitely not the performance that will, most importantly, get the champion or Dana White's attention. But you never know with the UFC, because we all kind of said the same thing when Marvin Vettori beat Kevin Holland. We're like, well, you know, that wasn't really the most, like, he won. It wasn't that exciting. And then the next thing you know, they need a middleweight contender, and Marvin Vettori was there. Sean Strickland seems like the type of guy that is pretty much always ready and always down to fight whoever. So more importantly than anything else, he stays in the win column and, you know, didn't take any amount of damage whatsoever against Jack Hermanson. So comes out healthy, is on a winning streak. I think that slots him in for any, like, if any of these upcoming middleweights aren't ready or get hurt or what, so on and so forth, he can slot right in there. He's in Vegas. If they have a big Vegas card that they need filled, he's right there to fill that too. So I don't think it's going to toss him into the title shot right away, but outside the loser of Cannonier Brunson, because obviously if Brunson wins, I don't know if he's going to fight Israel Adesanya next. I mean, he should, but as he might just not want a third straight rematch. So I don't know. Darren Till is still out there. Paulo Costa is still out there. Marvin Vettori is still out there, because a Marvin Vettori Sean Strickland fight is getting, like, the buildup for that is just gonna, I'm not gonna understand a word either one of those two individuals would even say. And then the fight is just gonna be two guys with a crazy gas tank just punching for 25 minutes. So I'm all in on that fight, doing your jobs for you for on to the next one. Shout out to that podcast. But yeah, not the fight and the victory he needs to throw him in title fight right away. But you never know. The UFC does strange things.
Listen, and Hermanson's a tough dude. He's a tricky fighter. You don't want to make any mistakes with a guy like that, because if he landed one of those takedowns or he caught you sleeping at all, he could put you out. Ask Kelvin Gastelum. Ask other opponents that he has faced. You can't make a mistake. You got to fight near perfect to beat Jack Hermanson. And I'm not trying to get down on Strickland's performance, but you got on the mic. You called for a title shot. Kind of not the performance that you're looking for, but still. Middleweight's fun, AK, is it not? I mean, Jose just ran off a bunch of names. Strickland versus Paulo Costa, the build to that would be super fun. Strickland versus Vettori, the build to that would be super fun. Andre Muniz, you could go back to the Luke Rockhold thing. There's lots of options for him. Middleweight's kind of fun right now. There's some stories going on. The two big fights coming up next week. Middleweight's pretty interesting now. It's been a little more interesting now than it was maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable. I mean, look, Israel Adesanya, they were talking today about him starting to lap the, you know, the division, because obviously he's fighting Whitaker again. But that's a special case. That's not because he's run out of challengers. I mean, yes, he already rematched Vettori as well. But it's more just a matter of timing. It's a fight that probably could have happened before. So that has to be resolved, I think, before Adesanya moves on. But when he does, like you said, there are fresh names. If Cannonier beats Brunson, there you go. There's a fresh fight for Adesanya. Otherwise, you get another rematch. So I know how it looks. But yeah, look, you said Strickland, Muniz. There's guys coming up. Was today's card necessarily the best showing for all the middleweights? I don't know. I mean, Chidi Njokuani, super exciting. Nick Maximov, work in progress. And then, of course, we have the card coming out, like we said, with the higher ranked middleweights to fight. So I do agree. I think the division is in a healthy state. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say exciting, but it's healthy. It's healthy. He has Israel Adesanya has people to fight. He has up and coming names. There's no reason for him to, you know, maybe take another shot at 205. Who knows what happens with the Prochazka Teixeira fight? Maybe he takes another stab at it. But as it is, yeah, it's a good place for him to be. Just excitement wise, this main event maybe might not have looked great for the division and might not have done a lot for either Strickland or Hermanson.
All right, I had to find it. It is officially up on the website. The scorecard for this main event. Sal D'Amato was the one who scored it, 48-47. He gave rounds 1, 3, and 5 to Jack Hermanson and 2 and 4 to Sean Strickland. Derek Cleary gave Strickland every round but round 3, which isn't bad, because I thought the third round was probably the closest round of the fight. Mm-hmm. And Juna Chiro Camijo gave Hermanson round one and Strickland's 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your scorecards. Sal D'Amato ruined it for everybody.
I gave Hermanson the first round, and then I had Strickland just wiping the floor with him.
There we go. 2, 3, 4.
Well, D'Amato didn't have the worst scorecard. I know we're probably going to go down the card, but the 30-27 Doug Crosby for Maximov was not great. Was not great. That was probably the worst card of the night.
Yes. I'm not surprised by that card at all, but we'll get to that in a minute. Jose, Jack Hermanson, this is a guy who his goal for 2022 was to fight for the belt. I got to get that title shot. You got to think, and anything can happen in MMA, and you say it best, things aren't official until both fighters get into the cage and all that stuff, but you got to feel like the road to a title shot for Jack Hermanson is a very long one now, is it not?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely the longest it's been since before his Jacare fight, because after that it just felt like it was inevitable that he would get a title shot. But like I said in the preview show and on Between the Links, like he gets to that finish line, he's right there, and he just can't get past it, like he did against Cannonier or he did against Sean Strickland or all these other fighters that he just can't get. Or Martin Vittori, like these are guys that are fighting for titles and stuff like that, and he just can't get past it. But it's 2022, and Glover Teixeira and Charles Oliveira are UFC champions. So, who are we to say his road to the title fight is long and arduous? Because that didn't seem to stop those guys. And Charles Oliveira looks like a world beater, and Glover has to fight Yuri Prohaska. So, God bless him. But 2021 seems like the theme of that year was fighting through hardships to reach their end goal. So I'm sure Jack Hermanson is going to stick right around in the top seven and middleweight. Not just probably a few years away from a title fight if he keeps winning.
Hey, it's definitely long and arduous, but it was long and arduous for those other gentlemen that you mentioned as well. And they got there and they won the pony, and here we are. So let's play the game, since they have not been released yet as we're live here. AK, bonuses. What's your bonus prediction? This card.
This seems pretty easy, right? If we're only going to performance bonuses, it should be Shavkat and Chidi and Jukwani. They have enough. Mm-hmm. If they decide, I mean, the fight of the night would be Erosa and Peterson, and they should do a fight of the night for that and give all $100,000 to Erosa because Peterson missed weight so badly. So I'd feel really bad if Erosa got screwed out of a bonus there. But there were enough finishes that they could go for performance. But I'm having faith they'll go Shavkat, they'll go Chidi and Jukwani. And they'll go $100,000 for Erosa for the fight of the night. I think that makes sense.
You agree, Jose?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Erosa Peterson had the announcer saying, like, oh, put this right up there with Giga Chikadze and Calvin Kattar. So Julian Erosa should get that 100K, and then the other two that AK said are just obvious no-brainers. Also, like, when you say, like, the middleweight, like, was it a big standout for middleweight division? Chidi and Jukwani looked great, and Nick Maximoff is a work in progress. Chidi Njokuani is a veteran of MMA. Nick Maximoff is very young in the game. Like, I said it was silly that fight was the co-main event to begin with. Like, I still very much consider Nick Maximoff a prospect, and Chidi Njokuani should have been in the UFC or fighting like top 25 guys. Shouldn't have had to go through the contender series.
Mm-hmm.
That's poor Marc-Andre Barriot having to welcome Chidi Njokuani to the UFC.
Yeah, that was wild. Nick Maximoff, to remind everybody, he's 24. Like, he's just getting started. He's 2-0 in the UFC and just beat Puna Soriano in his second UFC fight. That's pretty impressive. That's a guy that you could work on. You saw, if you watch his first UFC fight compared to the second UFC fight, his striking got a lot better just in that small window of time. But crazy fight. We'll find out what the bonuses are for a second. But AK, what did you think of the co-main event? And it's, as we talked about on the pre-fight Q&A, it's officially a co-main event because if they show the walkouts, they show the walkouts on a fight night, it's a co-main event. They showed both walkouts on ESPN Plus here in the United States. So that means it's a co-main event. They treated it as such. They gave it the co-main event treatment. So what did you think of Maximov's performance? Did the judges get it right? Or was there a little bit of a hose job for Mr. Soriano here?
Just for the record, the co-main event designation just means essentially nothing in the situation. But yes, I mean, it was technically the co-main event. It's fine. I can't dispute it. It's just meaningless.
They got walkouts aired.
A lot of people got walkouts aired on this show. Well, I feel sorry for you guys. Up in Canada, we got some sweet, sweet walkouts. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think we got all of them. Yeah. We got Battle and Gore. You guys got Battle and Gore.
We got Battle and Gore.
Yeah, we got Battle. That's what I'm saying. So that doesn't.
But we didn't get. We didn't get Shafkat. I don't know. We didn't get Shafkat.
Disappointing. Did you? I might have missed it, but that's disappointing.
Just Shafkat though. We didn't get Harris. We got Shafkat.
I don't think they played Sam Alvey, right? Because I would have done my usual "I hate Hey Soul Sister" tweet, or unless I just blocked it out. Anyway,
we didn't.
Look, like we said. I can poo-poo over it being called a co-main event all I want. It's not Nick Maximo's fault, and it's not Puna Soriano's fault that they were put in that position and expected to, I don't know, again, be a co-main event quality fight. Again, it was a competitive, you know, scrap. It was a little bit difficult to score because there was so much grappling with from the Maximo side with little damage, and Soriano's bursts of damage were few and far between. So it wasn't the most fun fight to watch. I'm sure it was not a fun fight to judge. I know I'm crapping on Doug Crosby, who probably could have done a much better job. But in general, again, scoring a fight like that is just like, how do you decide? Because Nick Maximov did almost no damage throughout the fight, and Soriano did a little bit of damage. So, you know, if we did more draws, maybe it'd be that way. But then Maximov controlled so much of the action. I think if you're just watching, you're kind of like, well, he dictated where it went. He might not have hurt him. It's a very difficult fight to score. If you're going strictly on damage, Soriano did more. But I mean, man, how can you spend that much time on your back doing nothing and win a fight? So I don't know. I don't think it's a robbery at all. I think Maximov won the fight. I think that's fine. So yeah, good for him. Stayed undefeated. Like you said, young guy, 24 years old, can only improve, but I hope they take him along slow. I hope they don't kind of like try and push him just so much because he's a Diaz guy. He's undefeated. He has a great skill. He is a good wrestler. Like he has maybe close to A+ level skill. But he's got to round out his game a lot before we move it up this 185 pound division. But yeah, there's no reason they should rush him. I can see him getting more wins this year and not facing a top 20 guy until 2023.
Who do you think, Jose?
I mean, he won. It's the most important thing. And anytime the UFC can show one of the Diaz brothers on screen, they're going to do it relentlessly. And that's pretty much what they did. I saw some people on my Twitter saying that, like, the only reason Nick Maximov is in the UFC is because he has the Diaz rub. Like, when I believe he made his debut when Nick fought, right?
Was that
card? It was on that card. He fought Cody Brundage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then one of their other teammates is on the undercard, which if you want to tell me he didn't belong in the UFC, then I would probably be like, yeah, probably. But I don't think they were saying that he's not good enough, just that he's super young. Maybe he should have gotten a handful more victories before signing to UFC. But the dude beat Puna Soriano, what, a year ago, people were saying was going to be one of the future contenders of the division, kind of one of the bright prospects at 185 pounds. So not the most exciting, but he won. He clearly has the right team behind him. So I don't know. I don't know who he should fight next. Someone outside the top 50, maybe.
We'll see. I mean, Puna's a good win, man. That's a really good win. And that wrestling pressure is going to be tough for a lot of guys at 185 pounds.
Maybe someone like Alessio De Chirico. You know, someone has a decent – he has a good highlight reel. Like they can show him knocking out –
Joaquin Buckley,
yeah, and then or you know he has a good he, and it's a very winnable fight for Maximov. So but that's if they don't want to blitz him up the division.
We're still waiting on the bonuses, but an interesting little note: Sean Strickland was just on the post-fight show on ESPN Plus and said that tonight was the last fight on his contract.
Oh,
so that we have free agents on Sean Strickland going down.
We'll get a new deal.
Dude,
they'll work it out.
They'll probably get a new deal today. They'll probably re-sign him today.
And by the way, we had a pre-fight question that was like, you know, oh, is the UFC going to, if he has an impressive performance and like he does a, you know, main event on ESPN next time again, are they going to kind of like, are they going to be wary of his, you know, his outspoken personality? And like the video package was all about like, I'm a villain, like I'm the bad guy and I say this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think ESPN or UFC are too concerned about his quote unquote bad guy persona. So yeah, as long as he reins it in. And again, hopefully, again, like I said, someone gets him, like talks to him about some of his slightly more aberrant comments. I don't think ESPN's too worried. Again, just you know, he can headline fight nights as much as they want him to.
Yeah, I mean, just think about his post fight interview tonight after the fight. He's critical of his performance, and then like the best thing he said that stood out was like the last things that he said. He said, "Thank the fans. Without them." They basically signed his paycheck. Exactly. Without you guys, yep. I would probably be a piece of shit somewhere. Now I'm a piece of shit with money. Let's go. Right. I mean, that's funny. That's
what the UFC wants to hear. That's what the UFC wants to hear, right? As long as they hear it, they're like, okay, good. Yeah, that's you know, be grateful to us. Be grateful to the fans. Just don't say anything else. Go to the back. That's it, right?
Yes.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Rest of the main card. I mean, we got to talk about Shavkat Rakhmonov, AK, because I think you need to see... I think people needed to see a little bit more. I was sold on him already. Some people just needed to see one more, and they thought Carlson Harris was the right opponent to see if we could get him over that hump. You're a believer, AK, 100%. You are on the Shavkat train, no doubt about it.
I mean, I was telling people not to overlook Carlson Harris, but also only to make it the point that, like, man, if he beats Carlson Harris, that's legit. This is not a pylon they lined up for him just to go. He can go 3-0 in the UFC. This is legitimate competition. A guy who himself was coming off two finishes and looking to go 3-0 in the UFC. So either way, I feel like the UFC would have been happy with whoever won. But I mean, Shavkat, he just blew him out of the water. What a spectacular finish. It was a beautifully timed spin kick. It was almost like a counter. Like it was while Harris was lunging in, just caught him perfectly. And then it led to a finish. That's three finishes against really good competition for this guy, undefeated from Kazakhstan. He looks great. He is currently leading our poll. I threw a poll, guys, who was the star of UFC Vegas 47. I put Strickland, Rakhmonov, Arosa, and Njokuani. Rakhmonov way ahead, 48% of the vote. So he made an impression tonight.
Absolutely. Jose, with a guy like Shavkat, let's put him like, let's have a comparison between, I don't know, a top 30 guy and Khamzat Chimaev. Where in between those two guys would you put him after that performance? Because there's always the argument, you don't want to rush him too fast, but then there's certain prospects you see like a Chimaev, you're like, let's just throw him in with a top five guy. Let's throw him right in there for a title fight because we feel like he's ready. How far do you think the UFC could put, like, could the UFC throw him a top 10 guy right now without any issue?
Maybe top 15. I'd be really interested in seeing him fight. He hasn't really broken a sweat inside there. Like, the problem with Shavkat is he beat Cowboy Oliveira in his what? That was that his debut? Or it was either his first fight or his second fight in the UFC. So he got a big name right out of the gate, which Khamzat Chimaev did not do. Khamzat Chimaev got on everyone's radar because he fought like twice in the span of 10 days and then beat Gerald Meerschaert, and then he took a long break and then beat the Leech. Does anyone that Khamzat Chimaev beat a bigger name than Cowboy Oliveira in the eyes of the fans in terms of like name recognition? I don't know. Like, of those, of all the names that in the UFC that Shavkat and Khamzat Chimaev have fought combined, I think Cowboy Oliveira is the best name, talent-wise, and the most recognizable. So if we're going to give him the Khamzat Chimaev treatment, so be it. I don't – like, if we're going to throw him in the top 15, the problem is I don't think anyone in the top 15 is going to want to fight him because he doesn't have that aura like Khamzat. I would like to see him fight someone maybe outside the top 25 that is still like in that name recognition, like a Jake Matthews or Nico Price or Michelle Pereira or Zaleski, like one of those guys where fans clearly know who they are. They're not top 15 fighters, but they are still supremely talented. And at one point, we're probably top 15 fighters and always put on a high level fight, and a win over them would be, again, a bigger win than anyone that Khamzat has fought next. So I like to see him fight someone in one of those names that I threw out there. But the dude's a monster. Wish he knew a little bit more English so he could speak like Khamzat does. But in terms of his fighting ability, he's going to be a problem for a long time.
Yeah. I was missing our boy Syat doing the translation because whoever was in there doing it, that was very awkward. AK, I know we'll think about it a little bit more, but I feel like maybe an Alex Morono type would be a good opponent next for Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Yeah, I like that. I believe someone said in his scrum he called out Demolidor, Michel Pajeda. That'd be interesting. I don't hate it. I would put them around a similar spot in my own rankings for sure. The other option is a Court McGee. I know Court McGee has a lot more UFC experience. But that is kind of how they treat Court, though. Court is kind of like they do kind of use him as like a litmus test. He's on his own win streak, which is nice for Court McGee for once. So maybe they wanted to be a little more favorable and not put him in front of the Shavkat train. But again, like I said, that's how they've used him in the past. So there's a ton of options for Shavkat. I think going top 15 might be a little bit too early. And again, there's just names there who don't. I mean, they're just not going to want to fight him. They're going to angle for other fights with guys higher than them. So if you're Shavkat and you want to fight as soon as possible, you take a McGee, you take a Morano, you take a Michelle Pajeda would be great. But I also think Pajeda will probably hunt for a bigger name.
How about the winner of Matt Brown and Brian Barberena?
I'd love to see him fight Matt Brown.
That'd be
maybe if Matt Brown wins. I don't know.
I think Brian Barberena, coming off a win, you know, they're both recognizable names. They're both always in exciting fights. I think Brian Barberena's ground game is a little underrated. He's like real slick up there in the MMA lab. So just a guy that is durable, that can at least test, you know, which that just sounds like Cowboy Oliveira. So it's like, what am I even talking about?
Tim Means would be a fun one too.
Yeah, someone like that's not going to challenge for a title anytime soon, but is super durable and exciting and a big.
Yeah, and you test these guys.
Like when Duho Choi. Casey, comes do we have out. A? Every now and then you need one of those fights.
Casey, do we have any kind of like news brief sound bites anywhere? Because we got bonuses.
Wait, do I have one?
We got bonuses. Maybe like the weigh-ins recap music. We're running
you
off
want
the
like
wins.
A, you want like a news of the world thing? No, that was more of that was. I'm sorry. No, that was more of Darude Sandstorm. I apologize. I was going, sorry. I meant.
That sounds like a telegram is coming in 19.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's yeah. That's what we want. No, that's what we want. We want the telegram. Yeah. We want the
predator.
Facts okay. Coming in. Let me go grab the piece of paper.
Yeah. Oops. Reach. Yeah. Hot.
We might have something. Hold on.
Oh, AK, have you ever used a fax machine?
A long time ago. Not in years.
I would hope not in years.
Look, sometimes paperwork needs to be done.
Or maybe we get some drum roll or something. All right. Performance of the night. Chidi and Jokowani and Shavkat Rakhmonov. Now, the big question is, what is the UFC going to do with the fight of the night? They did the right thing. Breaking news. The winner of the fight of the night, Julian Juicy J. Arosa, gets both bonuses, $100,000 on top of the win bonus, the show money, and the penalty money he received from Steven Ocho Peterson for missing weight. What a night for Julian Arosa. Congratulations, Juicy J. The Juicy J story continues on and continues to be one of the more undervalued and underrated stories in all of MMA. So good job, UFC. You got this one right.
I feel a little bad for Steven Peterson. People, hey, and listen, people who know me know I have no sympathy for people who miss weight. I am no E. Casey Leiden. Okay. If someone misses weight, I find it quite infuriating. I mean, extreme weight cutting is obviously stupid. But it is – look, if one guy has to do it, both guys have to do it. So it sucks that he missed weight by 3 pounds. And I get it. He gets penalized at 30%. But think about this. He's going home now. 30% of one check. I'm trying to look back. I don't know how reliable this is. The last reported payout. Okay, so this was – because this was in – he fought in Arizona. And apparently the payouts, I believe they were released.
Yeah, so Steven Peterson, he missed weight there too.
And he missed weight there too. So Steven Peterson made – 23,000 to show and lost 20% of that, lost 9,000. So this, so let's say he made 30,000 this time. So he lost like $10,000, and missed out on $50,000 a bonus. So I look, he made his own bed. He should sleep in it. I get it. But just when you think how vicious that fight was and how entertaining it was, and it just, guys, these guys need to be paid more. It's messed up.
It's disappointing because Steve Ocho Peterson kept talking about how he got his weight issues down and he was like looking forward. Like, I'm pretty sure he Instagrammed or tweeted like looking forward to an easy cuts 145 and he missed by more than the last time he missed.
And then he said
in like 147, 148 in Arizona, and then he came with 149 in Vegas. So obviously a supremely exciting guy. I don't think he's ever going to be top 15, but just off the top of my head, like, he had that spinning something KO win in Mexico and then beat Chase Hooper, and then one of the better fights you'll see on a fight night. So exciting fighter, exciting finisher, killer be killed type of guy, but and he's not that big. So he can't sign. I don't think he'd be that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he'd be like, it's, he'll, oh, go to 155, be more durable. Like, no. He's so small for 155.
It's messed up because they were saying on the broadcast, one of them was, I think it was Bisping or it might have been Felder that was saying they spoke to Peterson and he said, man, I don't know what went wrong with the weight cut. Obviously, I feel bad about it. And that maybe it's time for me to get some help with, I can't do this on my own. Maybe go to the PI. He's almost 30 fights into his pro career. He's been fighting for 11 years, I think. Like, and this isn't just him, this is the whole business, but I'm just using him as an example. How crazy is that a guy can have almost 30 pro fights and been fighting for 11 years and only now is like, oh man, maybe I need help figuring out this weight cut thing. And I get it. It's mostly worked out for him up until this point, but that's crazy. Like, that's where MMA is compared to other pro sports. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of conversation can be had with someone who's been around for so long. So whatever happens, again, I think at the very least he did save himself from being released. I think I know he won't get the fight of the night money, but at least he did win the fight of the night. The UFC will remember that. The matchmakers will remember that. He will get another chance to compete. Because if he had just lost in a stinker or gotten finished really quickly, that probably would have been it for Steven Peterson. So at the very least, he saved his job and has a chance to go 15 minutes with another featherweight killer next time and get even more punched in the face even more. So Good way to go.
Spend money, save your money on tattoos and get a nutritionist instead, because you spent a lot of money on some pretty outrageous tattoos that aren't even that well done, Steve Peterson. I apologize, but if you like them, that's all that matters. That's what I tell everyone, but they're not that well. The application is lacking.
So now Steven Peterson's going to have to fight like Sean Woodson next, and we'll see what happens there, because that ain't going to be fun for anybody. And if you watch Between the Links, you would have got tremendous insight from our friend New York Rick, who sang the praises of one Julian Arosa and sort of predicted this is the kind of performance you were going to see out of one Juicy J tonight. And he came through. It was a hard sell. And New York Rick just wants to say all hail Juicy J for a fantastic performance. Other notable victories. Go ahead.
I'd like to see him fight the winner. Who's Nate Landwehr fighting? Lerone Murphy?
Yes.
I think that's the fight, because Steven Peterson wanted to fight Nate so bad. And now that Julian beat him, just kind of slot him into where Steve Peterson wanted to be. Also, Julian Arosa versus either of those guys, it just sounds like a fun time in general. Wait,
Nate Landwehr lost on Twitter, Julian Arosa.
What am I talking about? Maybe if Lerone Murphy wins, that's the fight.
If someone mentioned Julian Arosa versus Billy Q, and that's fantastic. That's super fun.
Had that never been? That sounded so familiar. I saw someone mention that. Like, I thought that had at least been booked. It's never booked. No. Huh. Yeah, definitely. So. On to the next one.
Who's Bruce Leroy fighting? Sadiq Youssef? That's a fun fight, too.
Juicy J moving up that ladder.
By the way, can I say?
Juicy J versus Giga Chikadze would be interesting coming off of that loss to Calvin Kattar.
I don't love the nickname Juicy J. Can I say that? It's not raw dog levels, but it's like, listen, you know where I come from. My people have a saying, and that's you don't trust a man named Juicy. Maybe it loses something in the translation, but
Juicy J is an Academy Award winning hip hop artist. He has an Academy Award as a member of 3-6 Mafia for Hustle and Flow. That's right. Shout out to my friends in Memphis. Academy Award winner, Juicy J.
Is he named after? So is Arosa named after Juicy J?
We should all be named after members of 3-6 Mafia. Oh,
What are the other ones named?
Project
Pad.
There you go.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's not too bad. Don't call me. I'm just saying. I don't know anyone personally named Juicy.
DJ Paul, Gangsta Boo. Those are the only two other ones I remember.
Sure.
If I remember correctly,
is it not the year of Juicy J? Okay.
It's not the year of Juicy J. It's not the year of the Raw Dog. But again, the year is very young. And God help me if one of these guys goes on wins three or four fights this year, because I'm never going to hear the end of it. So right. Julian Arosa, great performance, great fighter, but I cannot call a grown man Juicy.
We got DJ Paul, we got Juicy J, we got Crunchy Black, we got Gangsta Boo, we got Lord Infamous, and one that I'm not going to say on air because it would.
Yes.
I'm the wrong skin color.
Yes, that's what I recall.
Maybe it'll be the year of Brennan Allen after his second round submission win over Sam Alvey. Maybe it'll be the year of Brian Battle after his one-eyed third round dig deep unanimous decision win over Trayshawn Gore. Maybe it's the year of Sexy Mexi, John Castaneda.
Speaking of Nick,
finishing Miles Johns.
What is Gore's nickname?
Mr. Vicious?
Silly.
Is it Mr. Vicious? It's something, but yeah,
he
it
needs
is Mr.
to
Vicious.
Change his name to the God Butcher from the Marvel Comics, because that's Gore the God Butcher, and that is just a fantastic name. He's going to be played by Academy Award winner Christian Bale in the new Thor movie. So this is the Academy Awards are coming up. You can clearly see where my head's at. Hung out with Joe B in Anaheim. I'm just constantly, got to plug these Oscars.
Well done. There are a lot of finishes on this card. Malcolm Gordon with the nasty arm injury.
This was a good card up until near the end. This was not. I'm seeing a lot of comments like, "Oh, this card was crap." I'm like, "What?" This card was fine up until maybe the last two. It was fine. How was this a bad card? Why was this card bad?
Phil Rowe, great performance. Jailton Almeida,
Amazing.
That guy is going to be really, really tough to beat.
Davis Stolarenko was really fun.
That was a fun fight. Yeah. Cheaty with 16-second knockout. Dawidu looked really good tonight. The Castaneda, great performance.
Looked amazing.
The Julian Rosa Steven Peterson fight was ridiculous.
Yeah,
How could you complain? That fight alone should tilt the scale.
I'm not saying it's like the card of the year, but like this is a bad card. Like then what? Like I don't like. I think we need to
Shafkat. We got freaking Shafkat with the spinning hook kick.
Yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't. It was fine. It was a good card. I thought it wasn't a perfect card, but it was good. Like was I don't know. I'm not sure if people were looking for.
Was this the best UFC card of the year in terms of like the performances?
It was the best card in February. Three. Yeah, sure.
There were a lot of decisions on Kattar Chikadze, and then there were a lot of fights that were fights and they were like fun performances, but there was nothing like crazy in UFC 270.
This probably was the best one so far. It was better than Bellator 273.
Yeah, unless you were there in person.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe this is the front runner right now. I mean, it didn't end tremendously. It was like if you watched the Royal Rumble this past Saturday, you started with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and it was a great match. You're like, all right, this is going to be really good. And then it ended with that terrible Royal Rumble with that predictable finish, and you left with a terrible taste in your mouth. And I feel – I don't feel it was that bad tonight, but –
Obviously, MMA fighters just better than professional wrestlers at professional wrestling. And Bobby Lashley, Ronda, and Brock Lesnar. So
let me just put it this way: I think like nine out of these 13 fights were worth watching. Like if someone asked me and they missed the card and they're like, "What should I watch? Like, what should, can I skip?" I'd say, "Oh, you could skip like four fights on it. Maybe 9 out of 13 fights were worth watching. That's a good card." That's how it like. I just don't know what the definition of bad. I don't know what the definition of a bad card is anymore. I guess anything that wasn't like it didn't end with a fight of the year main event is a bad card. Like honestly, I have no idea. I really don't know what it is.
MMA fans in 2022 are just on another level right now. I mean, you I don't know what's going to make you happy.
I mean, spoiled. Look at the stretch they had from like UFC 267 to UFC 269. Like, so just every paper. Like, if you look at our, like, events of the year, fight of the years, they all take place in the span of, like, 3 months.
Yep.
Yeah. No, they had a hell of a run to end. Next week's 2021. So.
100%. You know, let's go to the peeps. Let's see what the peeps are thinking right now. Go to them for a few minutes. All right. See what they gets to say.
Well, this is now a 3-6 podcast.
Yes.
Read the name.
Shad Al Shadi said, make sure we read this out loud for our podcast listeners. So, and I'm not joking for those listening right now. Doo Doo Poop said, Izzy will kick Strickland's head off his shoulders. He's not ready. He needs another fight with a killer first. Listen, nobody thinks Strickland's fighting for the title next. All right. We're all aware of that. But there's some interesting options. Like we said, throw him in there with Vettori. Paulo Costa just seems like so much chaos. Like everything about that, just the whole fight week and Costa being like, will he make weight? Will he even try to make weight? Will he just try to make this a 205-pound fight just like he did with the Vettori fight? Like all sorts of fun chaos that Sean Strickland would just find himself involved in just seems like a lot of fun. So, I mean, no, there's no need to throw him into a title fight, but yeah, there's some good matchups for him.
I don't think Izzy kicks his head off. I think Eric Nixick has Sean Strickland down to a science. Because if you watch that fight, pretty much everything Jack Hermanson threw, Sean Strickland got out of the way, but didn't exude like a ton of energy. Like he got out of the way like inches, so and then was right back in it. And then in between rounds, like Nixick was breaking him down. Like I think Eric Nixick is just an outstanding coach. Because I think like I spoke with Greg Jackson once, and it's like when he sees certain fighters, if he just sees their silhouette, he can tell you exactly where they fight. Like AKA guys have a similar fighting style, like ATT guys have a similar style, Mark Henry and this and that. I think Eric Nixick is just like the opposite of that. I think he just it's fighter to fighter. He just builds around that fighter's strength specifically. And I think him and Sean Strickland, him and Francis Ngannou, him and all of his fighters is just such an astounding, like cohesive unit. I think,
I don't think Izzy, I think I would very clearly pick Izzy to win that fight, but I don't think he decapitates him. I think they would have a pretty solid game plan to avoid that.
Yep. I'd like to see Nixik. I mean, that'd be an interesting fight someday.
Nixik versus Eugene Behrman, like that is such a good fight right there.
Eric Nixik, by the way, responded to the split decision. Said, quote on Twitter, not even one media member scored it for Jack Hermanson. I know we won, but if this guy is still judging, he will continue to make egregious decisions and ultimately cost fighters their careers and livelihood. So that's Eric Nixik for you. And
And I'm just seeing what the media scores were. And Eric Nixik is too level-headed for MMA. I've been saying that forever. And so anything that gets him riled up is like, you know, something's wrong.
And before we get to the next question, I will say, I still think Strickland could have a competitive fight with Adesanya. He really just did enough to win today. And I get it. It was not exciting. But I think they respected how dangerous Hermanson was. And they fought the kind of fight that would not allow Hermanson to show off his best skills. That's what they did. And it led to, again, pretty uneventful, pretty monotonous fight. But it's winning. Winning isn't always exciting. We have countless champions throughout UFC history who we've seen sometimes have bad fights when they win. I'm not saying Strickland's a UFC champion, but I'm saying you put him there with Adesanya, you'll see a different fighter than the one you saw tonight. Of course, I'd pick Adesanya to beat him 9 times out of 10, but it was not like, oh, he's going to knock him out in 30 seconds. Like, no, it's stylistically, it's a good matchup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvin Vettori kind of wrote the blueprint on how to beat Jack Hermanson with volume, and they pretty much use a lot of those same strategies. Do I think Adesanya's losing sleep over this fight? Probably not, but he's also got a big fight against the number two guy in the world coming up in a week's time right now. Like, he's getting ready to probably walk into the Toyota Center at this very moment, 1 week from right now. So he's got a lot on his mind. I don't think this fight cost him any sleep, if we're being honest, because it's probably not going to happen for another year or so.
I hope we're not. Well, that would be a pretty wild main card if they're about to fight at 9 o'clock. So yeah, let's do it.
Right. All right. What's next for Sam Alvey, AK?
I don't know. Listen, I probably don't know enough about Sam Alvey's personal life, certainly not about his finances, but I you have to be thinking retirement at this point. He'll be 36 in May. He's on he's on a winless streak. He tied BJ Penn tonight for the longest winless streak in UFC history. 0-7-1, which I think is the same as BJ. BJ had the draw against John Fitch, which I don't know if it was the beginning of his winless streak. It was early. It was out of the first. Sure.
I believe BJ beat Matt Hughes and then fought John Fitch to a draw.
So it was the draw. And then
be wrong.
You might be right. And then like 7 straight losses, something like that. So Alvey's a little different. So it's 3 straight losses, there's a draw, and then 4 straight losses before that. Either way, bad. I don't think we need to delve too much into the data here. It's bad. He's lost to good fighters, he's lost to mid-range fighters, he's lost to short notice replacements like he did tonight. Brendan Allen, a huge favorite. It wasn't shocking. Obviously viewed as a much more talented fighter on the come up right now, while Alvey's on his way down. I called second round submission, by the way, on the money. So it was a little touch and go there in round one. I think people were like, oh wow, Alvey looks better than we expected. But again, when you call in a guy on 4 days notice, I think it took Brendan Allen a little bit of time to get going. Once he did, he asserted himself and he won the fight. So, but I just don't know if you're Sam Alvey, you're looking, you're like, oh, I went to a decision with this guy. It's not like my chin is shot, but you're only going to take more damage here on out. I have to think the UFC is finally going to part ways with him. I know we said the same thing after that ugly, ugly, ugly decision loss to Wellington Turman. For some reason, they gave him another shot. I think this is it, though. I think it's time to let go. And if you're him and you can afford it and you have other things to move on to in life, maybe you consider retirement.
Yeah, I don't know if the UFC brings him back, but it wouldn't shock me if they did. Happy trails, perhaps. Smiling Sam. And we know you'll be smiling all the way. You don't trust a man named Juicy.
Again, it loses something in the translation, but that is an ancient Chinese proverb. But you don't trust a man named Juicy.
Silly.
Banana leaf. Did Soriano get injured? Yes, that's an interesting question. I'll have to check in. Maybe I'll ask Eric Nixik.
Seems like he was shrieking in pain in the middle of the fight.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably like a pulled muscle or something. Like, I'm sure something tweaked. I mean, he basically was carrying Nick Maximoff on his back for 15 minutes. So I'm sure that's just annoying in on many fronts. So don't know what the injury was, but it seemed like something was bugging him. Joseph Boza, thoughts on Brendan Allen today? Literally came off the couch on 3 days notice, flew into Vegas, went straight to his scrum, and did that to Sam Alvey. He did what he had to do as the biggest favorite on the card. So good on him. And we'll see what's next. He wanted to come back, said he had a bad taste in his mouth, said something happened with his last fight, some personal stuff. So clear-headed. Good on him.
Yep.
Did what he had to do. Leathery Foot, Jailton Almeida definitely deserves a shout out. He looks like a promising light heavyweight prospect. AK, are you a believer?
Wow, that dude was scary. I mean, he looked scary. Mike, I messaged you saying his physique looks impressive. Well, that's not how I put it, but there was his physique, incredibly impressive. If anyone wants more information, go read Guillerme Cruz's article. He interviewed Jailton last February. I'm sure he'll speak to Jailton again soon and get some more info, but you can sort of read about Jailton Almeida comparing his style to Khabib Nurmagomedov, saying I use him as reference. So that's a scary thought when you see the guy that big, that aggressive. You saw the wrestling today. You saw this is a guy who was not just holding on to position. I mean, once he got into, he advanced him out and was just pounding away. He was either going to choke Dylan L. Marquez or he was going to punch him out. Eventually the TKO happened. Marquez was a little salty about it, but I think it was referee Mike Beltran who did a good job and was like, no, you're not getting that position. Why should I let you take 20 more hammer fists? So yeah, he's definitely a promising light heavyweight prospect. I think that's accurate. Light heavyweight, not the deepest division. You could see him in the top 10 by the end of this year.
Yeah, he's legit, man. Lambobo Sky.
Ooh.
What about the first bout that Ukraine dislocated his shoulder? Yeah, that was nasty.
I think that's I am Bobo Sky or I am Boboski.
What did I say?
Lamb. It looks like an L. It could be
an
L.
It looks like a lowercase L.
Lambo Boski.
Was it his shoulder or his elbow?
Elbow.
Wasn't it like his elbow that like popped out?
There was pictures on Getty, right onto it, where yeah, it looked just big bulbous. Like it was horrible. It was horrible. He was really, and he's Denis, we were talking about him before the show, Mike. Denis Bondar really hyped up. 14 straight wins. A guy who looks like I think he is going to be a factor at flyweight. So and his debut was delayed multiple times. So very unfortunate. He finally gets in the octagon and suffers kind of a freak injury. Congrats to Malcolm Gordon for the win. But I think even he afterwards was like, holy crap, like that wasn't the plan. I think he did know the move that he attempted had some risk of injury, but no one plans to snap another dude's arm like that. And I hopefully Bondar's not out too long and it is not a tear. It is like maybe a clean break or something. And otherwise, I don't know. It could be another long delay, but Bondar is a prospect. Just his debut could not have gone worse for him.
100%. Alex lost it. ESPN Plus stop censoring today or someone asleep at the wheel. I mean, The exclusive ESPN Plus cards, they usually don't censor that much because it's not on television. It's on a premium service that you pay for. But I know some of those cards get shown on maybe TSN, like regular TSN. I don't know if that was the case up in your neck of the woods, AK. Was it on TSN or was it on like...
Yeah, it was on TSN and we had hardcore censoring. Like they did the thing where as soon as there was a bad word, they just censored the next like 20 seconds just in case. So a lot of the post-fight I'm not kidding. A lot of the post-fight promos, I caught like some words here and there. I got the general gist of it, but tons of bleeping up here.
Yeah, it was pretty good here. Nothing really got, and luckily there's nothing too crazy anyways. Brian Battle was all sorts of fired up. Tom S., do you know the story behind Strickland's walkout song, Odd Choice? No idea what the story is.
What do you walk out to?
Not surprising either.
What's it called? What's that song called?
Something marching one by one, hurrah.
Yeah,
hurrah.
Yeah, Damon has the name. Did Jose, did you hear it?
No, I had it muted.
Yeah, it's that. And it's called. When Johnny Comes Marching Home. Thanks. Shout out to Damon Martin for always
singing out to the ants come marching.
I think I don't think it's that song. I think that's what I don't think it's that strong.
I think it is, though.
I'm going to tell myself that that's what he walked out to.
Okay.
But you know the song.
That's the first thing I thought about, too. So what
do
you think of that, Jose, as a walkout song?
It's just a weird walkout song for a weird guy.
Uh-huh.
I think Brian Battle had the best walkout song of the night.
What did he walk out to?
Triple H's The Game.
Yeah.
Motorhead.
That was pretty awesome. Thoughtful DJ. Strickland's psycho shtick is kind of amusing, but that flies out the window when you're that careful in a fight. Listen, Hermanson's
definitely
a dangerous guy.
It's definitely interesting where if you just show all of that dude's interviews and then you watch his, like, who's the, that was it, Grabaka Hitman that tweeted, like,
oh, the funniest.
How many rounds would it take to for Sean Strickland actually kill a guy? 30 or 35, which is hilarious because I do agree. I was watching this fight. I'm like, Sean Strickland is clearly a psycho, but he doesn't fight like a psycho. He fights like an intelligent, high, like, some people are just really good at one thing. And Sean Strickland is really good at not getting punched and throwing in one jab. So props to him. He is a wacky individual and says a lot of stupid things and is clearly a psychotic individual, but he's a supremely talented fighter.
Maybe that's a mind game on top of everything.
I don't think Sean Strickland is diving into mind games. I think he's a wack. I just think he's a lunatic. I think that's 100% him.
But maybe Eric Nixick is just like that guy. He's like his Paul Bearer with the urn, where he just like kind of calms him down and puts him in the right spot.
That's true.
It felt like it was a make or break fight for Hermanson. Given the split decision loss, he probably deserves another top opponent. What do you guys think about him fighting at welterweight if he loses again? Can Hermanson cut to welterweight? He's a pretty big dude.
He looked huge.
He's tall.
Today. He looks huge.
I wish that fight was in California. I'd love to know what he weighed tonight.
Yeah. No, he looked huge.
He's probably in the twos.
He'd have to really slim down. He'd have to lose some muscle. And if you're a fighter, not really ideal.
Or he could just stick in middleweight, keep making money, and fight. He's clearly a top 15 middleweight. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always in it. Like, remember he lost a couple fights, and then he came back and, or he lost to Cannonier, and then he came back and like tapped Gaslam like ASAP. Like, he's, I don't have a problem like sticking 185 and just keep winning.
Yeah, he's a very serviceable guy. Yeah. Very serviceable.
Weight class changes aren't always the answer.
Most surprising victory of the night. That's a good question.
Castaneda?
Yeah.
He's good.
Maybe.
It wasn't like a massive upset, but I do think I had picked Johns. I'm not sure. I don't know if you guys picked
Miles Johns at one point was like an undefeated like prospect that everyone was super high on. I was at his fight in Houston. It was like one of the last two pay-per-views before the pandemic, and he was a really good interview, and then he lost in his hometown and then popped back and won a couple more. So I thought I was real high on Miles John after that, and Castaneda is just also very, very good. I don't know if that was more people underestimating Castaneda or people were just really high on Miles John, or just a combination of both.
And we should say he looked amazing the entire fight. He looked like amazing during the entire fight. Like, it was a complete performance. It wasn't like, oh, he came back or like back and forth and then got to the finish. It was like, no, I think he won the first two rounds and then finished in the third. So really good. Really good by Castaneda.
I like Miles Johns a lot. I think he's very skilled. I think what always made him so terrifying at 135 was that he was always a wrestler first that had big knockout power. But now he's sort of becoming the guy who has big knockout power that might wrestle once in a while. Like, he's kind of got to go back to his bread and butter, I think. Like, if he was mixing in those takedowns and trying to grind out Castaneda, that might have been a different fight. But I think sometimes when you get a couple of, like, if you get two straight spectacular knockouts like he's had, sometimes you just fall in love with your striking and you feel like, okay, I'm just going to lure you in and I'm just going to land that one big shot. And I feel like Trayshawn Gore, there's a very similar, it was almost like the identical game plan. Trayshawn Gore landed a couple of takedowns late in that fight with Brian Battle, but at the same time, like, Battle was landing with a lot more volume. He was coming in, he was mixing things up, and Gore was just trying to land that one big shot. And I feel like John's kind of fell into that same trap, and he's kind of fought that way his last few fights, and it's been successful the two previous bouts. But Castaneda is good, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's good and he's starting to find himself, and that's a guy who thought he was and I've talked to him about this. 4 or 5 years ago, one of the top prospects in the sport, and he just kind of got full of himself. He got very cocky, thought he was just, I mean, I'm going to the UFC. I'm the man. And then lost a couple of fights. And then he had to humble himself up a little bit. Went back to Minnesota and just got into these killer training camps with Brock Larson and some of those other folks. Now he's got Rose and Pat Barry coming in to train with him. So he's getting humbled up. His head's in the right place. He's going to be a good guy at 135. He's going to be an interesting feller. No doubt about it. I like Sexy Maxie.
Mike, someone is asking for your best Paul Bearer impression. David Sandine, can you do one?
Oh, yes. That's all I got.
I can. I'll do one. Eric Nixick for Sean Strickland.
Oh, Sean Strickland, we're coming for the middleweight title. Oh, tonight we bury Jack Hermanson. We're two fights away, and soon Israel Adesanya, you will rest in peace. Oh,
you know what's funny is you sound like you sound like AK trying to do a Paul Bearer impression.
That's good. That is good. Okay, good. That's what I was going for.
That was a good impression. I just next time I would like.
I had the prop.
I would like for you to bring more. There, not enough eyebrows.
Oh yeah,
like your eyebrows were very under. Yeah, were very underutilized, and the facial expression was there. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I give that like a solid 7.
Good note. That's a good note.
That was pretty good.
Good note.
That was pretty good. And with that said, you hear the music in the background because even Casey's had enough after that impression. So. UFC Vegas 47 in the books. AK and I back tomorrow with podcast audio only version of Onset Next One. So get your matchmaking suggestions in, and that's that. And then of course UFC 271 going down next week. Jose, I believe, will be in Houston, Texas, and we'll have all your coverage for that event. Lots of fun stuff. So thanks for checking us out. For Jose, for AK, I am Mike Heck. Big thank you to Casey on the ones and twos. Good night, everybody.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA. For new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.